Hello, my name is Ava Homa. I'm going to read for you from my collection of short stories called Echoes from the Other Land. Echoes is set in Iran, and the story I'm going to read for you is called A River of Milk and Honey, which is set in Kurdistan on the border of Iran and Iraq. The narrator of the story, Shermin, is a teenage girl who has a facial deformity and she has a problem in her legs. She's living in a family where her disability is perceived as a punishment for a sin that somebody has committed in that family, probably the mother, because she is the one who suffers the most from this illness. So this is you, and this is Echoes from the Other Land. Evening. Every relative is willing to donate as much as they can. I recognize Ronak's voice, my aunt. I know, but it's a high-risk surgery. What can I say? How can I make a decision like that for her? That voice is Mom speaking. Oh, trust God, dear. Oh, what have I done to deserve this? For which sin? Mom asks. Same old questions. I lean my head against the hallway wall. Which sin? Whose sin? Who pays for whose sin? Sometimes I wonder if God hates all the people in this city. All the people who live on the border of Iran and Iraq. My father says Sanandaj is a city of revolution and mass murder, tyranny and genocide. I was in my mother's womb when the war broke out and ate when it was finally over. I do not know what sin these people have committed to deserve such horror, but I know that God does not ever answer my prayer. Maybe he will in the afterworld. God is testing your faith, Ronak says. Pushing the door open quietly, I tilt my head so as to peek into the living room. The two women are sitting on the handmade carpets, leaning against the new Kurdish cushions. Ronak takes a sip of her tea and notices me in the crack of the door. Shermin is a sweetheart, she says, raising her voice. Mom's white headscarf that she wears during prayers has slid onto her shoulders, and her salt and pepper hair is messy. Her situation wouldn't run me down if she was at least a boy, Mom says. Placing a hand on her hip, she winces. Oh, Shermin, dear, come here, Ronak says. You look nice in that shirt, darling. Mom coughs and pulls the scarf over her head. I hobble over and sit next to Ronak and hide my head behind her shoulders, twisting my fingers into the hem of my blue shirt. Weekend. My uncle's family will visit us, and I pray that Azad will be with them. Mom says he's a man now and he does not go out with his parents. When I am on the rooftop, waiting for the days to end, I often see Azad in the neighborhood with her friends. I do not call out and he does not look up. I have a feeling that Azad will come over today. If it's God's will, please, God. Afternoon. The shampoo slowly slips to the corner of my mouth. The bitter taste. I close my eyes. Oh, it's not hard to imagine myself emerging from the river of milk and honey, luminous wings open. Azad passes by and stares. Gathering my wings behind me, I walk elegantly in a white dress towards a garden of red roses, pretending not to see him. A breeze blows through my hair. When I get to the garden, I turn and beckon to him. He has a look of adoration in his eyes. He runs to me. We walk elegantly through the garden, hand in hand. I begin shivering. The water always gets cold fast. To wake me from my dreams, I think. No, to save gas, says Dad. My underdress and puffy pants are silver. I put on the Kurdish dress, bright red and plain with embroidery, which Ronak gave me last year. I am trying on the headscarf when Mom appears between me and the mirror. She frowns at the messy knot I've made of the scarf and lifts a black scarf from the drawer. This black one will make your face look smaller. I examine her frowning face and then my own face in the mirror. It's nothing like a monster's. I'm lovable. Take it, she sighs. I hate black. I move towards the door. She wraps her arms around me and whispers in my ear, darling, everything will be fine after the surgery.